from the capital city of the state of Oregon, it's Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good Wednesday morning to you, friends. Hello, I'm Stacy Ann. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Hoping you're doing all right this morning. I'm on my second cup of coffee. And oh my, the last 24 hours, there has been so much going on within Oregon. And there is an awareness finally here in Oregon like I've never experienced, where people everywhere are like, what are we going to do? Another lockdown coming on Friday. And here's something interesting coming out of the Northwest Observer. If you don't subscribe or haven't yet, I encourage you to do so. Northwestobserver.com. They say, Oregon leaders assert Kate Brown lift restrictions. AOC and Orla pen letter to the governor. County commissioners from 27 of the 36 counties across Oregon have jointly signed a letter along with the Association of Oregon Counties and Oregon Restaurant and Lodging Association demanding that Governor Brown remove restrictions that are killing Oregon restaurant and hospitality businesses. And we're really encouraging folks, we're encouraging you to get a hold of each and every one of our, as well, our state House and state Senate leaders. Send them an email and tell them that we need to remove the emergency orders. There's a resolution, House resolution, I believe it is 18, and I'll have to look that up for sure, on the floor of the House right now. And we need to stop the emergency power that allows governor to continue to put these lockdowns. And I really, I put a post from Commissioner Colm Willis that said, you know, the math just doesn't add up. And it doesn't equal extreme measures that we're living under right now. And I know a lot of people are upset. I'm going to encourage you to come out tonight. If you're in the area, if you can hear my voice and you live in Oregon, I encourage you to drive on over tonight at about 6:15 at the River Church. We're going to have a gathering together and we're going to talk with some local leaders and we're going to look at ways that we can activate, not only get supportive of our businesses and what we can do if some of them decide to not shut down on Friday. Many have said they can't survive another shutdown. Many of these restaurants, they're like, it doesn't matter how much grant and how much money are out there. We've got families relying on this income, and many people still after. So here's how this plays out. So they shut down. People have to wait for unemployment, right? Some of these people that work in the restaurant business, they literally, the money that they get in tips that night help them pay their gas, pay their insurance. We have no idea, some of us. We have no clue how critical this is in the livelihood. And I just don't know how much more people can handle it. And all across Oregon, I'm a part of a group down in Southern Oregon of moms that are standing up down in that area. I've got several, even on in the Bend area, connecting with them. Many people are wanting to know. They're opening up their constitutions. They're opening up, they're downloading the Oregon Constitution. They're like, man, there's so many violations. There's an awareness that is happening. And it's time that we stand strong together. So about 6:15 tonight at the River Church. And if you need more information, send me an email, Stacey, S-T-A-C-E-Y at KSLM.news. We'll gather together. And then at 7 p.m. tonight is Chris Ann Hall's Liberty First University. And it's very, very good, talking about our constitutional rights. You're welcome to stay. They have a little coffee shop right there in the church as well. And so it'll be a good time for us to gather together. Yesterday, of course, we have the last couple days, we've been interviewing candidates for school board here in the Salem-Keizer area. And I have to tell you, after attending the Safe School Summit on Saturday and being a part of that, I had the privilege of emceeing it, hearing the topics that were covered and the awareness. I mean, I've always been kind of aware of what was going on in our schools, but not to this degree or level. I'm more convinced now than ever that we need to get the right kind of school board, conservative school board leaders on our school boards all across Oregon. And there's like 850 positions open. Oh, and we've got to get the right ones in there because the schools need our help. And with that, I am committed, and I'm telling you right now, I'm committed to start right here in Salem-Keizer school area, Parents' Rights in Education Committee or group or support group or whatever we want to call it. We're going to start our own so we can be more engaged and involved and support our conservative leaders on the school board with real hard issues that are facing our schools, that in regards to curriculum and making sure that our kids are getting what they need so that when they graduate from high school, they have all the tools in their toolbox to work and play and have very productive lives, right? And then you hear in the State House that they proposed a bill and passed it out of the Senate that they're going to just not have any graduation requirements for the next couple years, and then we'll make a committee to see if we want to just never have graduation requirements again. These things stir me to the core. I don't know about you, friends. And instead of just, again, I talk about this a lot, you know, we can curse at the darkness, but we need to turn up the light, and we can complain all day, but it's time to do something. Are you ready to do something? Well, lace up your shoes, because we're going to run pretty fast over the next couple of days. And I want to remind you, too, that there's some changes next week going to happen. Starting next Monday, actually, I'm going to be out of town. I'm so excited. I get to go spend some time with my family and celebrate my birthday and Mother's Day and be with my kids and my grandkids and my parents in South Dakota. And then from there, I am going to Costa Rica on a missions trip. I'm really excited. So I will be gone for a few weeks, and there'll be some changes here at the radio station. But when I come back, believe me, we're going to start this Parents' Rights in Education. We're going to have some good school board people elected on the school board, and we're going to run and stand up for our community and do things that really affect change. And so I encourage you again to get engaged, get involved. Send me an email if you didn't, if I'm talking too fast. I know a lot of you say, you talk too fast. And so Stacey, S-T-A-C-E-Y, at KSLM.news. Transitioning now let's talk a little bit about the weather. Oh my goodness, 51 degrees already here at the KSLM studio. Going to be 75 today. So you want to grab that baseball cap. In fact, I'm wearing my Americana baseball cap today and some sunscreen if you're outside very long. But what a beautiful day it will be today and tomorrow. A little rain potentially on Friday, and then Saturday and Sunday, temperatures in the mid-60s all the way through next week. About Wednesday is what I have here on my 10-day forecast. So that's exciting, something to look forward to. And a great season to get out and help our candidates that are running for the school board. Why not join in a sign-waving event, right? Why not write letters to the editor? Why not help them as they campaign? And we've had already on Monday, we had Carrie Zahner, and we had Linda Farrington yesterday. And today, I'm so excited to introduce to you, and in the studio, a very first time on the radio, Liam Collins. Liam, let me tell him about you. Liam is a fantastic example of the kind of people we need helping our community's most vulnerable kids. Liam and his wife foster parent teens, including two who are in the Salem-Keizer schools. Liam is a logistic professional, which gives him useful and needed perspective for improving all levels of school district operations. So glad to have you in the studio here. Liam, good morning to you.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm going to have you lean a little closer to to the mic. How is the roads coming in this morning? I always try to get a road report.
They were pretty good.
Yeah?
I mean, not much going on out there.
Kind of quiet. I heard some reports from stores last night that with this upcoming closure thing going on, people were out buying like crazy groceries and things like that. I am so thankful that you decided to step up and run for school board. Tell our listeners a little bit about yourself.
Well, I grew up in Ohio, and my dad and stepmom moved out here my junior year of high school, so I spent two of my years in a public high school in Ohio, two of my years in West Lynn. And then when I graduated from West Lynn High School, I came to Salem and went to Willamette University. And basically, I've been Salem ever since. My dad was a teacher, so we have a middle-class background. Mm-hmm. And I've been around educators a good portion of my life. And one of the reasons he came out here was for better schools, but he didn't find it when he was out here because my youngest sister, who's 14 years younger than I am, ended up being homeschooled.
Ah.
So he saw that there were some problems that were coming up in the system and decided to take action on his own.
So you graduated from high school here and then stayed and went to college here as well.
Yes.
Wow. What did you study at Willamette University?
So I was a Bachelor of Science in History.
Mm.
So history has always fascinated me. Mm-hmm. And that's what I decided to do. I actually took a bunch of other economics and business classes and things like that, basically a whole bunch of classes I thought would be useful once I went into the working world for a career. And that's worked out pretty well for me. So,
well, that's really neat. And so you're from here, you went to college here, and now you're working here, and you and your wife are foster parents, which resonated with me because I was a foster mom. And then I ended up foster adopting. My fifth child is a foster daughter. She's 19 now, and it takes a special kind of person. I had a lot of people say, oh, how can you ever do, I could never do that. How could you ever do that? And I remember my response was, I'm called to it. It's a calling, and you do, and you get prepared for it, right? But it is a unique perspective, having these children, that there's reasons why they're in the foster care system. Now, how long have you been in foster care? Having kids in the Salem-Keizer district certainly is something that's eye-opening too, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, so we've been doing foster care for a little bit over 2 years.
Wow. Yes, and so, you get to say, I want this age of a child and et cetera. And for me, I always like the 5, 6, and 7 year olds.
Yeah, and you know, we decided to do it because we heard and saw there was a need mm-hmm. for teenagers mm-hmm. that most people didn't want to take teenagers.
Right,
and that was really more where I felt and my wife felt that we could really do something.
Mm-hmm.
Because we both work, so
sure.
And obviously being a parent takes tons of time.
Yes.
But the reality is you have to be around a lot more for a 5 and 6 year old mm-hmm. than you do with a teenager.
Right.
So you have to be around and helping them.
They're a little more dependent,
right,
in a sense. And so you said yes, and your foster parents, and they're in the school system, and COVID happens, and then you're having to learn from home and do all this pivoting and things. Talk to us a little bit of what you experienced and what you saw through this, what they did.
Well, so COVID obviously has been horrible overall, mm-hmm. and it's really hard on kids because a lot of kids really need to be in person 5 days a week. And that's mm-hmm. one of the things that I really want is I want to get all the kids back in school 5 days a week where that is their best learning environment.
Yes.
But what I saw is one of the kids that we have, she's better off not in mm-hmm. school. Like, there's mm-hmm. too many distractions for her. So she's doing way better in an online environment.
Mm-hmm.
And we had chosen the EDGE option that the school district offered, mm-hmm. which was going to be online all year. And
right.
by we, I mean, we asked the kids what they wanted to do,
sure.
and they said that.
Oh, excellent.
Because we want to give them choices.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she's doing very well. So is the other kid that we have in online. And
mm-hmm.
what they choose next year is up to them.
Sure.
But I think it's likely that she's better off, and I think she's going to determine that she's better off being online. And we need to have a school system that doesn't let any kids fall through the cracks.
Agreed.
So we need to have both in-school 5-day-a-week class, and we need to have an option for online or whatever else. Like, kids need options in order to succeed.
Yes, you're absolutely right. And I think the silver lining in COVID is the fact that we are getting focused back on what the kids need and building their educational experience around that. And I'm glad to hear you talk about that. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio. Radio KSLM. We're going to continue the conversation with Liam Collins after this.
Good morning.
Good morning to you, Reliable News Talk Radio KSLM. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann. Thank you for tuning in, friends. Want to thank Bill Sunderland with Country Financial Sunderland Agency for being a morning show sponsor. You can get a hold of Bill at sunderlandagency.com, 503-885-0789. And on our Facebook page today, friends, I shared a really good post. I thought this was really good. I'm going to bring it up here from Danielle Bethel. She is, if you know Danielle, she is a commissioner, and she's also on the school board. And she shared the letter that we talked about earlier in the earlier segment that the Oregon Restaurant and Lodging Association sent, along with county commissioners, signed it to Governor Kate Brown. And the letter is there. You can look at it, and it's got all the signatures. And I'm just really proud of all of these commissioners that are standing strong in these counties. And when we think about our Constitution and our Oregon Constitution, these folks they do an oath to preserve our constitutional rights. And so they should be a shelter or protection to guard them and hold them dear. And I'm very proud of the Oregon Restaurant and Lodging Association and some of the other organizations that are stepping up. And I think the next few days are going to be real telling. Now, that's that part of government, and certainly that affects our day-to-day lives when they say you cannot open your business, you can't do these things, right? That's part of it. The other part that we're going through right now, and I'm suspect, now this is a Stacy theory. It's nothing based on anything other than I'm thinking, boy, is this a coincidence perhaps? But it seems like we went into a major lockdown last fall, right before the election. Major lockdown, like extreme risk and all of that. And here we are. In fact, I just got my little booklet in the mail. I think I brought it here to the studio somewhere. My voter pamphlet. And here we are. The ballots are supposed to be going into our boxes at any day now where we can start voting in the election. It finalizes for the school board on the 18th of May. And here we are in a lockdown again. I'm thinking, what is up with that? There is no excuse for you and I not to fill out the ballot if we can't go anywhere, right? And so we're continuing the conversation this morning with Liam Collins, and we're talking about the school board. And Liam, I'm really curious as to why in the world would you want, what is the fire in you that would make you want to say yes to running for the school board? Because friends, remember, this is a volunteer position. There's no pay. And certainly it's not an easy thing to step up at this time to do. Talk to us a little bit about that.
So the big thing that inspired me to decide to run was seeing the foster kids. I mean, mm-hmm. these are some of the most vulnerable kids that we have in the community. And all of the kids that we've had have been really bright kids, mm-hmm. but you wouldn't know it looking at their grades. Like somehow they have managed to fall through the cracks of the system. And by that, I mean the school system and the foster care system, mm-hmm. where they're not even close to living up to their potential. And I think that we need a voice on the school board that's going to say, we need to inspire our kids. We need to connect with our kids in order to succeed. Mm-hmm. And just recently, the McNary principal, won an award. Mm-hmm. And if anybody saw that article in the Statesman Journal, it looked at the graduation rate changes. And he's got Hispanic kids graduating at the same rate as the Caucasian kids.
Fantastic.
And, that means he's connecting. And you look at their website, and their website says he wants each kid to be in one sport, one activity, and one club. Like, that's connection. Mm-hmm. That's what needs to be inspired at every level of our school district.
Yes.
From everybody, our teachers, any member of the staff. Mm-hmm. Even if the staff member is a janitor, like, they can make that connection with the kids. The
yes.
SROs can make that connection with the kids. And that's what I want to be on the school board to do, is to encourage more connection with those kids and get them involved and tell kids that, hey, you are smart, therefore I expect more than just a D. Because mm-hmm. a lot of, all the kids that I've encountered, except for one, have been, well, a D's passing, that's fine. And then I have to have that conversation that, that's not fine because, you think you're smart. Like, I ask them, do you think you're smart? And mm-hmm. they say yes. And, we can't have kids who think they're smart and are smart come out of school with a D and not know anything. Like, that's not fair to their futures.
That's exactly right. And it's back to that discussion of equal opportunity, not equal results. And what's interesting for me is that so much has been focused in education. Even when my kids were in school in South Dakota, it's like, we're just going to give them a participation certificate. Everybody participate, the equalness there. And yet we should have first, second, and third. We should do ABCs because it shows them that their good work and effort is rewarded. And then I know what it did for me in my life. And yes, I was disappointed when I wrote a paper and I gave my heart, and but I missed it. I didn't understand the concept of it. And I got a C. I didn't get an A because I didn't hit the mark. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think you're spot on there. So what, as far as running for school board and what a school board can do to influence policy is pretty powerful, right? Some have diminished the fact, school board's just kind of there. The superintendent really runs the show. Talk to us a little bit about that and how important it is that relationship work hand in hand on behalf of the kids.
Yeah, I mean, the superintendent does run a lot of the show, mm-hmm. but the school board is there to provide an actual strategy mm-hmm. of what things need to be focused on and to be a voice of all the community, because we're elected officials.
Right.
Like, you know, me as a voter, I can have no effect on who is or who is not the superintendent. Mm-hmm. It's the school board's job to have its employee, you know, perform in a particular way.
Right.
And, you know, not to say that anybody's doing a particularly bad job or a particularly good job. Everybody has things they can work on and get right. better at, and everybody has things that they're doing great.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, again, obviously, if you look at the success that the McNary principal has, that's a sign that there's things that are going well.
Yes, and there's an example that we can look to pave the way for the future of the other schools. I agree. That's
yeah.
very good. So what is, do you have a website that people can learn more about you?
Yes, it's Collins for School Board.
Collinsforschoolboard.com. All right, we're going to continue the conversation after this, friends. Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. I want to remind you, we'll have this up as a podcast up on our website at KSLM.news. You can grab the link, share with your friends, let them know about Liam Collins running for school board right here in the Salem-Keizer area. We'll be back.
Hello, good morning, how you doing?
Good morning to you, Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, 9:34 in the morning. Thank you for tuning in. It's warming up to 53 degrees right here in the KSLM studio. Well, in the studio, it's about 68 degrees, but outside where they're gauging the temperature, it's 53. It's going to warm up to 75 degrees. Looking forward to that, Hess. I'm wearing my sandals today and my baseball cap and ready to enjoy a nice, nice spring-like day. I want to encourage you, friends, there's lots of things that we can be doing to contact our legislators and let them know they're on the table. And Bill Post, Representative Bill Post, is so good to alerting us of what's going on in at the State House. And there is HJR 18, which is a House resolution, and it would end the emergency in Oregon and give people the power back via the legislature. And let me remind you, and of course, those of us who have been taking the Constitution classes, we know that there's three branches of government, the legislative, the executive, and then the judicial, right? And for Governor Brown to continue to have the power and the emergency powers that she has, the legislature really needs to step up and either endorse it or take it away. And we need to let our elected leaders know. And we've put this up on our Facebook page, KSLM Radio, where you have the emails here. There's a whole list of House Rules Committee people to email and say, yes, we need to end the emergency powers immediately. And we need to send a nice note to them. Be nice. And tell them please, and say we the people want our power back. And there's other things that we can do. We can encourage our commissioners and thank them for stepping up and signing this letter to Governor Brown about what's happening with the lockdowns. And there's ways that we can get engaged and get active. Tonight at 6:15 at the River Church, we're going to gather together, a group of us, right before Liberty First University. That's at 7. And we're going to talk to some of our elected leaders. We're also going to talk with some candidates. And we're going to gather together and see what we can do to support these businesses. Because I believe there are going to be several businesses that are going to say, no, I'm not shutting down. And we need to have a plan to stand behind them and stay together. Saturday, there's a couple rallies going on. We'll get more information. I'll put that up on Facebook. I think there's a Second Amendment rally. I know there is. Down at the riverfront, that's going to happen at noon. And it's family friendly. There's going to be things for kids to do. There'll be food. And it's just celebrating our Second Amendment rights as Americans to bear arms and all of those things. So there'll be speakers and people talking about that. It'll be a good time. And so if you have an event coming up too, let us know. Send me an email, stacy@kslm.news. Continuing the conversation about school board, the election right around the corner. And Liam, here's something kind of cool. Your name is Liam and your last name is Collins. And I have two of my grandchildren out of five. One is a Liam and one is a Collins. So Liam Collins. So that's kind of fun. Cool name, by the way, and easy to remember. When you get your ballot, friends, which will be coming up any day now, and you're looking at the school board options, what zone are you in?
I'm in Zone 7.
Zone 7, okay. And what area is that?
So that's the northmost end of Salem.
Okay. So kind of this neighborhood then, more or less, is it? Yep. Kind of? Is this the
I'm
north?
I'm not sure if this is
this
in the
is
border
not
of,
quite, yeah. Yeah. So what schools are in your area, that the big ones, the high school?
The high school is north.
North. So, yeah. Okay, cool.
And it's everything that feeds into that.
And right into that. Okay. Well, you know, when I think about school and high school, and we talked a little bit about kids kind of falling through the cracks, and that's motivation for you to get engaged in the process. I think back to my brother. He's 4 years younger than me, graduated from Sprague. And a week before graduation, he found out he was a half a credit short from graduating. He got to walk, but he didn't graduate. And to me, that's a complete failure somewhere along the line of people not tracking or whatever. And I put the responsibility as well, as much on my brother as anything, but to know that you're that close and it took him years. And finally he did finish school because he had three boys and he thought it was important to lead by example. But I always razzed him because here I went on to college. And I did, you know, I went high school, college, all these, you know, that road. He went into the technical side. He never went on to college or technical school, and he made a whole lot more money than I ever have.
Yep.
Isn't that interesting? So I, you know, putting all that pressure to go to college, there's kind of a shift that's happened that people aren't doing that as much, right?
There definitely is. I mean, there's kids who are going to do better at different walks in life. Not mm-hmm. everybody needs to be a doctor or
right.
a lawyer or have a college degree. I mean, that's why those STEM programs are so important
mm-hmm.
and the CTEC programs are so important
because
you got to balance everything.
Yes.
Some kids are going to need that higher education to invent things
mm-hmm.
or to lead a larger number of people in whatever, you know, occupation that they do. But people still need to build things, and those are good jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to make sure that people, again, kids need to be connected.
Yes.
And part of that is making sure that there are options out there that feed what connects them.
Yes.
And if what connects them is a trade, then that certainly should be an option for kids so
mm-hmm.
that they, when they graduate, they can start their career. Because there's also the time value of money that occurs.
Yes.
So even if your upper end is higher as a doctor, certainly higher than my upper end ever
mm-hmm.
was. That doesn't mean that if you graduate early or graduate on time and go right to work, that you can't end up in just as good a place as that doctor.
Well spoken. Yes, I agree. And the process in school to develop that critical thinking as well as skills that you can learn back in Arkansas. When my daughter was in high school in Arkansas, they were actually doing training, like cross training, where they could take some college courses and whether or become a beautician or an auto mechanic, where then when they went on to college, they could also work. They actually had a skill that they got paid more. I just thought that was incredible. And when anytime we have that exposure to students in high school and allow them these opportunities, I think that's something that we should get behind. What do you find as your priority coming on the school board? What is your number one priority?
Well, my number one priority is to get all the kids that want to be back in class 5 days a week,
mm-hmm.
back in class five
mm-hmm.
days a week. That's my number one priority.
Mm-hmm.
That's the environment in which most kids do the best. Again, I want choice out there for those kids who aren't that way
mm-hmm.
or for those that are concerned.
Right.
Or their parents that are concerned. Number two is I want to get SROs back in classrooms. And, you know, as a kid, I didn't see police in schools.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you would have asked me 5 years ago if we needed SROs in school, I would have said, I have no idea why we need SROs in school.
Mm-hmm.
But being a foster parent, I saw one of those kids who developed a great relationship with an SRO. And when she was in crisis, that SRO drove 20 miles out of his way and worked 2 hours beyond when he should have been working to make sure that she was okay.
Mm-hmm.
And like that sort of connection is really needed. So, you know, I want to see that level of connection in school from our SROs. That doesn't mean the program doesn't need to change at all, but we need those sorts of people in schools. And then the third thing is we need to look at data to see where we need to direct resources,
mm-hmm.
who we're missing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if we see that there is a group of any sort that is not getting the education that they deserve, we need to direct resources there. We need to reach out specifically in some cases to those particular kids.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that needs to be a literal thing. Like, we need to forge the connection if that connection isn't there. And by we, I mean that's parents, that's yes. teachers, that's secretaries, that's SROs, that's the community at large, that's literally everybody. Someone needs to be able to get through because there's somebody who can reach everybody. We just need to get them together.
Well, and looking at the barriers to learning, you know, so many times I've heard superintendents and people say, you know, the kids get to school and they have so many needs, even to be able to pay attention in class, you know, things like that. And so there's this constant struggle of is the school, the social service, you know, director, or are they the educator, you know, but there are community partners that's their job. And so there's a way you can work, you can link together to make this happen and allow these families, alert them to the resources that are out there to help them be a success all the way around. And that's really, I think, a good community around a school. I think maybe I have an unrealistic expectation, but I go back to watching Little House on the Prairie and how everything was around the schoolhouse when you think about that and how schools are so important. And it was also the church, wasn't it, where the school was. You know, we're kind of gotten away from that. But I do think that there's something about that where parents are engaged in the process and parents are invited to be engaged in the process. And now it's where I think that we need to get this parents' rights group started here in town so that we can say, you know, we want to be and we're going to show up and we're going to be engaged in the process. How do you think a group like that can be supportive to the school board?
So one of the things that group can do is show up and voice their opinion as well. Mm-hmm. Like, literally from watching the school board meetings, I've really seen just one side talk. And we all do best as a society when we're listening to all the voices that are out there. And everybody's got different points of view and different experiences, and we need to listen to all those different experiences. But there's a whole group of people who never come out and mm-hmm. say anything in support and say, hey, this is working really well. I hear where this person says there's a problem. We need to look at how we're going to tweak that. Because mm-hmm. sometimes it's, sure, throw the water in the bathtub out. Yeah. But other times there's a baby in that bathtub. And yeah. we need to make sure that we're taking care of those who are already being taken care of and not hurting them while we're trying to make sure that everything else gets better. Because we can make things better.
Yes, and it is a big mountain to climb. 40,000 students, what, the second largest school district in the state. So I know that there's a lot of issues and a lot of attention to detail that needs to happen. It sounds like from your background and the way you are kind of a process guy, you have a way about you that you could get in and dig into those details and you're willing to.
Yeah. I mean, that's certainly something that I do in my work. Like mm-hmm. in my work life, you know, I run a fair amount of logistics people, which means I run up to people who just move vehicles. Mm-hmm. And I have always made it a point to not just come up with my own system sitting in an ivory tower, not that I really sit in an ivory tower, mm-hmm. but I make sure as much as possible to interact with those people who are the people on the ground mm-hmm. who are doing the actual movement.
Right.
Because some of the best ideas and some of the biggest problems that are noticed by them.
Yes.
And when they point that out, I can then dig into it and fix it. And that doesn't mean I can fix every problem that anybody ever points out.
Right.
But at the same time, if I don't talk to everybody who's involved, like, I don't succeed. Like, mm-hmm. I need everybody else in order to do well myself. And so I need to listen to their voices. And that's what the school board needs to do. It needs to listen to all the voices as well. Mm-hmm. That's teachers, that's students, that's parents, that's yes. community. That's literally every voice mm-hmm. needs to be heard. And, you know, every voice needs to get out there in order to tell what's going on, good and bad, because it needs to be both. Like, nobody responds well to, you are doing horribly. Like, if I'm talking to the foster kids, I am telling them what they do well. Mm-hmm. I am saying, I don't know that that's a good solution for you. This you've done really well. Way to go with this. Like, people need to be told what they are doing well.
Yes.
And that's important. And that doesn't mean we're all doing everything well. People tell me that I don't do things well, and that's fine. That needs to happen as well.
We learn from it, yes.
Right. But, you know, people need to be told, hey, this is you're doing really well at. Mm-hmm. This you need to work on. Mm-hmm. This you're doing really well at. This you're doing really well at. This you need to work at. And that's what that's what the community needs to do with the school board and relating to the schools. They need to point out both the positives and the negatives.
I agree. We need more coaches, less complaining. Let's get things done. What is your website again?
Collinsforschoolboard.com.
All right, friends. We need to come alongside Liam with our time, treasure, and talent. Go to his website. Support him today. We'll be back after this. Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new
good morning to you, Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann, hanging out with you on this wonderful Wednesday. Thank you for tuning in. Going to open up the phone lines and talk to my Sunday school teacher, Pat. How are you this morning, Pat?
I'm fine. Thank you, Stacey. I've got a quick question, though. I have a friend in Kaiser who would like to put up signs in her yard for the school board members.
Okay.
And I don't know where to tell her to go. We can go pick them up today.
Oh, excellent. Where could they pick up school board signs, Liam?
Well, yeah, you can certainly just go to each of our websites and contact us directly.
Computer.
Okay.
No computer.
But
could we get them here
to
the studio?
Leave some here.
Maybe we'll get them here to the KSLM studio. How's that, Pat? And I can get you.
Okay, will they be there today?
Yep, we'll get them there.
Yep.
We'll get them there
by
this afternoon.
I'm here now and have some that I can leave right now.
Yep.
So
we have a couple signs
here.
Coming
to town.
Okay.
Okay, what's the address for your
studio?
So
we are real close to the Chuck E. Cheese on Lancaster.
Oh, okay.
Before you get to Silverton Road back there,
We're
here in that plaza. And you can call me on my cell phone if you get kind of turned around we can go from there. So thank you so much for calling in today.
By the way, the signs are very attractive, and they're colorful, well-written, and you can see them from both sides.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Good luck.
All right.
Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Pat. You bring such a good point to she does about how important it is to have the signs and get it in and go from there. But I certainly think that getting signs, being involved in the process is important. We're going to open up the phone lines and bring on Gail this morning. Hello, Gail.
Good morning.
Thank you for calling in. I know you tried to call yesterday and we didn't get quite to you.
Well, thank you for taking this call. I was feeling for Linda and her conversation with Josh and the mask thing. And, you know, I'm really supportive of Josh, but I'm also supportive of our school board. And I looked up to see who was running against Linda. And we really need to support our school board, Lynn as well. And anyway, I am fasting today. I'm fasting today for our school board. And I just wanted to share that.
Thank you. Thank you, Gail.
Yeah.
That is important that we pray, we fast, and then we get out and vote. Thank you so very much for your thoughts today. Have a blessed day. So as we wrap up today, and Liam, we kind of wrap up our conversation, it's important that we get out and support you and you're a part of a slate of four, and that's what she's bringing up, Linda, from the conversation yesterday. Again, how can people help and be supportive of you?
I mean, the number one thing that people can do is really get out there and vote.
Mm-hmm.
Like these school board elections don't tend to have a lot of turnout. So we need everybody who wants to vote for us to literally get out there and vote for us.
And get your friends out, too.
Exactly. Talk to all of your friends about who you're voting for and get them to vote, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we need to spread the word out there and make sure that, you know, good candidates are being voted for.
Well, I certainly appreciate you running and you saying yes to the call and doing all that we can. Invite you to come out with us tonight. If you can join us tonight at 6:15, people can meet you in person as well. That would be awesome. Thank you, Liam, for your time. I appreciate that.
Thank
and
you.
We're going to transition a little bit and talking about opening up schools and opening up public spaces. And now that we're hearing about this close down again because of the threat, apparently there's a a threat out there of increased variants and et cetera, et cetera. I brought Chris in, and we're talking about the Safe Air Network. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Stacey?
Good. Thank you for being a part of the conversation this morning. I grabbed you real quick and said we have some things to talk about. Let's talk about a little bit about the science behind the Safe Air Network technology and why it's so critical, especially at a time like this.
Sure. Well, I think probably the way I would describe it to most people, if you think about a baseball game, right, you have one catcher and you have eight other people out in the field. Imagine if you inverted that, right, and you have eight people at home plate and one person out in the outfield. Mm-hmm. That sounds silly to us. And yet, when we think about purifying air and removing COVID from the air or from surfaces, we rely on a HEPA filter in one location, clear back in the corner of a room or in your air conditioner unit, out in your garage or out in the back mm-hmm. of a building. What if you could take a machine that takes air and pulls water vapor out of the air, treats it with an electrical charge in a chemical process, and puts out positively charged particles out into the air that when it comes into contact with COVID throughout the room, it pierces the cell wall and actually destroys COVID in the air, destroys COVID on surfaces, 99.9% effective. It's FDA approved. It's used in hospitals. Mm-hmm. And yet we're not talking about it. We're talking about masks. We're talking about filters. And we have a system out there that can actually remove COVID from the air and from surfaces in the room.
So, and not only that, but allergies, if you have allergies, dog and pet dander, all of those things. I know Willamette Valley, there's terrible allergies going on right
Absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely.
Which is great because we need all the pollen, you know, to make all the wonderful agricultural products that we have here in the Willamette Valley. But some of us suffer from that. And sometimes I wonder about a little bit of these higher numbers of COVIDs or whatever. Maybe it's just plain old allergies. Who knows?
Could
I'm not
be.
A doctor. But this is something that can help with that. And also when you talk about schools and opening up the schools again, and certainly the kids being healthy in the classroom, here's a simple solution, right, to do that. So what do people do? I mean, they can have it in their home. They can have it in their car. They can have it in their office, their church, their school, their private school. How do they do a consultation? How does that work?
So the easiest way to get hold of us is to call us at 833-7-SAFE-AIR. Mm-hmm. You can ask for me. My name's Chris, and we'll have a conversation. Right? We have units that can plug into the cigarette lighter in a school bus. We have units that can attach to an HVAC, an industrial air conditioning system. We have portable units that can service everything from a small classroom to a hospital clinic to an eyeglass shop, you name it. I know I worked in a medical clinic earlier this year, and probably 30% of the seniors that came in told me, we haven't been out of our house since last March.
Oh, no.
They're terrified. And the reason they're terrified is because they live in retirement communities. They're prevented from being in contact with anyone. The mm-hmm. only inputs they have are the news that they hear on television in their rooms that's telling them that they're going to die if they go outside. Mm. And they're terrified to walk in and get an eye exam.
Yes.
We at the Safe Air Network, we have signage when you purchase one of our pieces of equipment that can go on your front door that says the air in this room is clean. And we have marketing materials that you can send out to your customers or to schools.
That's so important because I have a friend who has a little boutique shop downtown, and it's just mm-hmm. she's herself, just she on herself with this little store. And she doesn't wear the mask, of course. She's by herself. And then a customer, if she's not wearing the mask, when some customers come in, they're like, oh, we're not going in. You're not wearing a mask, you know, kind of thing. And it's like, well, be a part of the Safe Air Network, you know,
right.
And you could say we're part and let people know that this is safe space. Mm-hmm. And we're listing people who are a part of the Safe Air Network so people can shop, know where
Absolutely.
To go, right, as
right.
well. Excellent. What's that phone number again, one more time?
Phone number is 833-7-SAFE-AIR.
Or safeairnetwork.com.
That's
and
correct.
Thank you for jumping in here and giving us an update. I know a lot of people are concerned about this lockdown. And if you have a restaurant or a bar, you know, you're affected by this. This is another thing that you can do. In fact, there's funding out there. When you're getting your revitalization package or grants, you can apply for this. And this is a useful way to open up again. So contact us, safeairnetwork.com. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Liam, for being a part of the conversation today. You guys, God bless you. God bless you, listeners. Remember, grab this link off of our podcast. Share it with your friends today at kslm.news. Have a fantastic day. I hope to see you tonight at 6:15 at the River Church right here in Salem, Oregon. Have a great day. Yeah.
next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no